Well, this is our final installment in the series, Making Marriages Blessed. How many people have been enjoying some enrichment for your marriage relationship? How many people say, well, I'm storing up information. I'm going to get one of the marriage relationships one of these days. Amen. Amen. We love you. We don't want the single people to feel left out. But hopefully this will be helpful to you. I've been so blessed to hear from people how God is working in hearts and relationships. They've been coming to me, Pastor Mark, you know what my husband did last Sunday after your sermon? And they've got this glow on their face, and they tell me the sweet things these husbands are doing. And then she'll go, it's about time. And let me begin by reiterating something I've said every week through the series. God wants your marriage to be blessed. And I say that because it's true. And you need to believe that that's true. You know, the good things in life are there for us. But what puts us in contact with them is our faith. You know, Jesus went around blessing people and healing people and touching people. But you know one thing every single one of those people had in common, as divergent as all their needs and problems were, the one thing they always had in common when they got a touch from Jesus was that they had faith in what He wanted to do for them. So God's calling you to have faith in what He wants to do for your marriage. Jesus wants to touch crippled relationships and to make them rise up and walk again. Jesus wants to open blind eyes and deaf ears in marriages. Jesus wants to cast some devils out of marriages. Amen? There's a few of those now and then. And to those who receive those blessings, Jesus always said, because you had faith. So I want you to engage your faith. Everybody say this with me. My marriage is blessed. I believe God is blessing my marriage. There you go. Something in heaven just stood up and took notice. Oh, write it down. Get the blessings going. Well, something else besides faith is required for a blessed marriage. There's also humility. Faith makes us strong, puts us in contact with the blessings. Humility keeps us safe in a lot of ways. God said, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and He will lift you up. Sometimes we need to be lifted up, amen? Sometimes our marriages get pushed down, and they need to be lifted up. Well, the Bible says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and He will lift you up. There are times when couples need to humble themselves before their Maker. You know, the Bible says God opposes the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. You ever feel like you're pushing a rock uphill? There might be some opposition. We might need to humble ourselves, and God will give you grace. If your marriage needs grace, if your marriage needs some altitude, then maybe your marriage needs humility. You know, because humility is the attitude that produces altitude in life. Because God opposes the proud, He gives grace to the humble. He pushes down the proud, He lifts up the humble. Our marriage issues will never heal as long as we think our spouse is the one that needs to change. If all we do is take this sermon or take any one of these sermons and use it to lecture our partner, we will miss the grace of God. And the grace of God is what changes things. A humble marriage is one where two people say, with God's help, I will work on me and love on you. Amen? So let the Holy Spirit work on your spouse. He's really good at fixing people. And don't be saying, you know, that thing that preacher said was exactly what you needed to hear. That's pride. Humility says, you know, that stuff the preacher said is exactly what I needed to hear. And so other spouse, when they say that, resist the temptation to go, amen. That's pride. Humility says, well, hon, Lord's working on me too. See? Stay humble and God's grace will flow and will lift up your relationship to a higher place. If you stick your nose up in the air and beat your chest, you're going to eat some mud. Because, what does it say? That he who exalts himself will be humbled. Haughty spirit comes before a fall. Look at your neighbor and say, did you hear the pastor just go in church? God wants to exalt your marriage. He wants to heal it. He wants to bless it. I want to share with you today four words that I hear the Lord calling us to apply spiritually to our marriage. And this message today is going to be a little less instructional, and I just believe God has an impartation today. There's something spiritual that's going to flow into your relationship today, a work that the Holy Spirit is going to do in hearts today. And in, these words are just vessels in which He is encapsulating His anointing for marriages today. Everybody say, I receive the anointing that God has for my marriage in Jesus' name. Amen. These four words that we need to apply to our marriage: nourish, cleanse, fortify, defend. Number one, nourish your marriage. And here's what the Lord's put on my heart. Nourish your marriage with dedicated quality time of togetherness. Marriage does not thrive on leftovers. It might survive, but it will not thrive. You know, our time is like a feast. It's like this table of wonderful food. And everybody and everything in our lives gets to come into our home and walk by this table and eat as much as they want. Everybody else gets to come first, and often marriages get fed last. The kids, the job, the civic society, the sports, the clubs, the chores. And we think we're feeding our marriage if we go to the grocery store shopping together. No, that's just a quick snack. You can't thrive on that. Well, now, the other day we went to that place to look for that thing together. Isn't that quality time? No. Here's the kind of quality time that nourishes a marriage. Just you and me. No agenda, no deadlines, no distractions, just us together, relaxing, embracing, sharing, and dreaming. You know, dreaming is an important part of nourishing a marriage, looking into the future, letting God expand your vision and rekindle hope. Time together like that, plan it, schedule it, get a sitter, guard that evening or that day that you're going to set aside on your calendar like it was a doctor's appointment. That's right. You don't have to explain to anybody what you're going to do or why you can't do their thing that they want you to do that day. You're busy. You have another commitment. See, that's nourishing your marriage. Don't feel guilty. It's not an indulgence. It's not a luxury. It's a necessity. It's a calling of God to nourish your marriage. Listen to this. Get ready for this, okay? God wants to give your marriage a Sabbath rest. Think about this. God wants a Sabbath for us to spend quality time with Him. Amen? That's why we're all here today. This is a part of our dedication of ourselves to God. God, You are number one in my life. That's why I go to church, to spend time with You. Now, we know that the Bible teaches us in Ephesians that marriage is a revelation of Christ's relationship to the church. So what then? Shouldn't there be a Sabbath for the marriage? If there's a Sabbath for our relationship with God, there's also a Sabbath for marriage, because it's a revelation of our relationship with God. You see? It's a marriage Sabbath, a time when all work ceases and we just rest together and connect like the church and Jesus does. The marriage Sabbath is the thing we do to keep marriage number one over all earthly relationships. I'm not saying it has to happen every 7 days or anything like that. I'm just saying from time to time we need to do this. I mean, do we come to church and crochet during the sermon? Put them needles away. Do we come to church and do our taxes or balance our checkbook while praise and worship is going on? No, that would be dishonoring God. That would be saying to God, you know what, You're not the number one thing in my life because I've got other things more important I can do during this time. Of course not. So also, the marriage Sabbath must not be divided by any other duties or any other distractions. I want you to hear God giving you permission today to make your marriage a number one priority and to set aside time for it and to never feel guilty or like something's being left undone. The Lord's saying, your marriage must not be left undone. Your relationship with your spouse must not be left unnourished. Practice a Sabbath rest in your marriage and you will nourish it and give it a little mini honeymoon all over again. Think about it. When you were dating, when you were courting one another, trying to land that person and convince them that you were going to make them your number one, you know, you didn't grab the cell phone and start texting over dinner. You know, it was, my focus is on you. And sometimes we need to just take a little time aside and act like we were still dating. Amen? Act like we're still trying to win that person's heart over. So nourish your marriage. Word number two, cleanse. Cleanse your marriage with forgiveness. Forgiveness is to marriage what soap is to the body. If someone says, my marriage stinks, I'd say, then give it a bath. I mean, when your dog stinks, you give it a bath. When you stink, you take a bath. And when your marriage stinks, give it a bath. Of course, we take a bath more often than the dog, hopefully. Because, you know, we don't want to start stinking. You know, now we'll wash the dog when we notice the dog is starting to stink, right? But we want to prevent stink in our own personal hygiene, so we wash regularly. But you know, some couples, they let their marriage go on stinking longer than the dog. They wash the dog before they wash their relationship. How? They don't forgive the buildup of anger and bitterness that inevitably accumulates as a result of the fact that we're human, we're imperfect, we step on each other's toes, we spill things emotionally and relationally. And marriages get to stinking to the point where people don't want to be around each other. I can't hold my nose enough anymore because this is stinking so bad. Some people get to that point. They're not bad people. They just need a bath. So funny, if these couples can't get along, everyone else loves them, but they can't get along with each other. They just need to take a bath. Forgiveness. Marriage is work, and work makes stink. If you ever worked, you know that. Forgiveness washes off the stink. Why do couples go on stinking? Well, in order to take a bath, you have to take things off. Pastor Mark, we don't need an illustrated sermon today. Amen. Amen. I wouldn't do that. I don't want you to have that picture in your mind. But check, think of this figuratively in terms of relationship. Taking a bath requires that we take things off. Okay? Couples go on stinking because to take a bath in forgiveness, we have to bear ourselves to one another in honesty and confession. Pride and ego make it hard to drop our coverings of self-justification and to admit our faults. Think Adam and Eve, think fig leaves, coverings, things that we use to justify ourselves. Some people go through life and they just can't be wrong. I don't know why. People get this in them. You know, maybe it was from their childhood that to be wrong elicited a severe punishment that was far worse than it should have elicited. And some people build a defense mechanism that if I'm wrong, I'm going to be punished severely. So they just try to think that I'm never going to be wrong. I cannot be wrong. Because it brings back that painful past. But you know, you've got to deal with those issues and realize that's then, this is now. It's okay to be wrong. You have to be wrong. What do you mean I have to be wrong? You can't not be wrong from time to time, folks. If we go through life denying that we're ever wrong, we're going to sabotage every relationship. Amen? I mean, if God wrote a book on marriage, page one would be called I'm Sorry. Amen? Let's face it. You know, I wonder if the Apostle James was thinking of marriage when he said, confess your faults one to another that you may be healed. Amen. Sometimes we just need to identify that trait in us, that thing, that habit, that tendency that is causing a buildup of hurt and frustration and resentment in our spouse. I'm sorry for being so stubborn. I'm sorry for not putting you first. I'm sorry for the way I have been so insensitive to your needs. I'm sorry for leaving you with all the responsibilities. Will you forgive me? I love you. Will you please pray for me? I want to do better by you. And the marriage begins to become cleansed. We have to do those things. Paul said, forgive each other as God in Christ has forgiven you. Jesus cleanses us when we ask for forgiveness. The relationship is cleansed. Word number three, we've gone through nourish the marriage. We're talking about cleansing the marriage. Word number three, fortify your marriage. Fortify your marriage by building it on a solid foundation. The word fortify, the root word is fort. We know a fort is a strong place to be protected. You're safe there. To fortify something means to make it strong, to make it stable. The way we fortify our marriage is by building it on a solid foundation. Jesus said, "He who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, he is like the man who builds his house on a rock. And when the storms come," not if they come, when they come, "that the wind raged and the house withstood the storm." He says, "But he who does not put my words into practice," these teachings, "is like the one who builds on sand. And when the storm came, the house fell with a great crash." Building our life and our marriage on the teachings of Jesus cannot be overstated. More often than not, it's the case that some parts of our life are built on a rock, and sometimes other parts of our life are not. We compromise sometimes. We justify a lack of strictness and adherence to Jesus' instructions, sometimes in certain areas. And then years later, parts of our life begin to crumble, begin to show that we built not on His teachings, but on our own ideas and preferences. And the part that we built on the sandy spot begins to crumble and crack and show weaknesses. And we look back and we wish that we had just did what He said to do. And the tough thing about foundations is that it's hard to go back and relay them very easily. It's really important to get them right up front. Now, God can redeem anything, don't get me wrong. But hey, you know, why not take the better way? Amen? Because by the time we see it fail, we've built so much on it that it's so hard to undo. Marriages must be fortified in the Bible's teaching, especially in three specific areas. Number one, sexual morality. A marriage must be fortified by being built on the Bible's teachings on sexual morality. Number two, scriptural financial priorities. A marriage must be built on biblical, scriptural, financial priorities. Two top reasons people split up and get divorced: sex and money. And the third thing is, a marriage needs to be built on the priority of church life. See, the world is teaching couples to engage in sexual immorality to enrich their marriage. But the things that they tell us to do are what they're going to weaken trust, and they're going to destroy intimacy because they don't coalesce with biblical standards. When an unscriptural view of money and finances and the path to prosperity underlay a marriage, there will be financial meltdowns and it will destroy the relationship. What are the biblical financial priorities? Number one, unity. Think of your resources as one. Just as God put you together to make you one flesh, in your financials, you should be one person. There shouldn't be, and I'm not trying to be legalistic. I'm not saying you can't have an account over here on your name, account over here under her name. I'm just saying in your mind and in your attitude towards one another, that's our money, not my money versus your money. You see, that's a crack in the foundation. That's building your house on sand. Because trust is what a marriage must live on. And if there's sort of this 1 foot out the door position, I'm keeping some money over here just in case. You know, these people that engage in prenuptial agreements, what's that say? You know, if you decide to leave me, you're only going to get this much. It's like, oh wow, bummer. And you know, I don't know what it's like to be a gazillionaire. So, but I'm just saying that's sad. And then that third priority. Priority of church life. When the spirit and essence of church life are not prominent features in a marriage, there's a vulnerability to breakdown because the church provides an essential nutrient to married life. It's an institution that's constantly stressing the values of love and forgiveness, integrity and righteousness, and character traits that make marriages strong. You know, you want to make your marriage strong, don't read Oprah, don't read Cosmo. Read Jesus. Amen? J Magazine, right here. Lay down O Magazine and read J Magazine, okay? Fortify your marriage by living the Lord's teachings in every way. Finally, the fourth word today we've gone through Nourish, cleanse, fortify. And the fourth word is defend. Defend your marriage. Defend your marriage through prayer. The Bible tells us the devil lurks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Therefore, resist him, the Bible says. You can resist the devil. How do I resist the devil? I can't even see him. The Bible says you can resist the devil because Jesus, you see, has granted you a thing that's called spiritual authority. Everybody say, spiritual authority. Say, I have spiritual authority. Now, you may or may not have known that. But the fact of the matter is, if Jesus lives in your heart, you have spiritual authority. It's almost like, and I certainly don't want to diminish Jesus, but you know, Jesus is locked up inside your heart. And when you exercise spiritual authority, you're sort of letting him out like an attack dog on the devil. You know, he's just waiting in there. And of course, you know, he plays such a vital role in so many other parts of our life. But from the standpoint of defending your marriage and your life against the devil, I want you to think of Jesus like a fighter over in your corner. That's probably a better idea, a fighter over in your corner. But the bell that sends him out to the fight is when you go like this. In the name of Jesus, ding, ding, and out he comes. You see that? Now watch this. There's people that go through life, oh God, help God. And God's saying, just ring the bell, man. I've given you my name. Just ring it and I will be in your corner and I will jump out and we'll take care of this. You see? Don't beg God. It's just like Jesus said, if you say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, it will be done for you. Oh, gosh. Don't tell me he's one of them name it, claim it guys. No, no. I'm one of these, here's what the Bible says, guys. Amen? I don't know what the name it, claim it guys say. I don't listen to them. I listen to the man who wrote this Bible. And he said in Mark chapter 11, if you say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and believe in your heart, what you say will be done for you, it will be done. So now I have a role in defending my marriage against the devil. I can actually resist the devil. Right? It's, you know, people look at spiritual warfare and deliverance like calling 911. Beep, beep, beep. Hello, hello, I need you to come right now because something bad is really happening right now. And how many know 911 can't always get somebody there in time? You need to be armed. Amen? That's why we have the Second Amendment? Where we have the right to bear arms? Jesus gives you the right to bear arms spiritually. He says, you don't have to call me and get me to show up. He goes, I have given you all authority and nothing shall by any means harm you. You shall trample on serpents and scorpions. You hear that? Jesus gave you the authority. Sometimes your marriage comes under attack. Now, we need eyes to recognize that. And when the devil attacks, we need to engage in prayer. Prayer is the most powerful defensive action we can take to protect our marriage. And I'm not telling that you have to, you know, form some sort of a daily ritual or the devil's going to eat you. What I'm saying is that when the devil is eating you, when he's eating your marriage, it's time to pray. How many know tag team wrestling? You have an advantage over doing it on yourself. Two are better than one, the Bible says. Amen? One shall put 1,000 to flight. Two shall put 10,000 to flight. When the devil attacks and both of you come together in prayer, he scatters. You resist him. When anxiety and uncertainty begin to create conflict and friction, see, we know how this works. It starts in the mind. It all starts in our mind. And it goes from our mind to our behavior, to our words, and then becomes fuel to the flame. And when the anxiety and uncertainty begin to create conflict and friction, the Bible says just cast all your cares on Him because He cares for you. We need to pray about this. What are we going to do? I don't know. How's this going to work out? I don't know. Wait a minute. Stop. Let's just pray about this. Right? Everything that we do as an individual works also as a couple, except twice as good. Amen? Praying together defends your marriage. When one or both of you get in an emotional funk and you start turning on each other, see, that's the lion pouncing. And it's time to join hands as a couple and resist the lion and say, "No, devil, in Jesus' name, you will not turn us against each other. For what God has joined together, let no one divide us under." See, you speak the word in Jesus' name, the devil goes fleeing. Check out Matthew chapter 4. The devil came to Jesus in the wilderness. Jesus quoted the word of God from the Old Testament, because that's the only written word they had at the time. He quoted the word. When the devil heard the word spoken in Jesus' authority, he runs away. See, that's how you defend your marriage. Well, what if my spouse isn't in tune to these things? That's okay. It'll still work. You just go in your prayer closet, you get down on your hands and knees, and you pray blessings upon your spouse. You pray everything that good that you know God wants for you. Pray it upon your spouse. And then begin to bind the spirits that are at work in your marriage. Spirits of disunity, spirits of division, spirits of blame and accusation. Spirit of divorce. Just start binding those things and doing war in the heavenlies, and then just walk out of your prayer closet and just love them like they never did nothing wrong. Man, the devil will stomp and kick. It'll be like Rumpelstiltskin. Ground will open up and he'll just go down in it. It works. You're going to face disappointments and setbacks in your life, in your marriage, as a result of the devil's devouring attacks. But God will make the devil spit it all back out if you walk in faith and unity together. Don't let the devil tell you, "Oh, everything would have been different had your spouse not made this or that fateful decision, or had they shown more character in such and such thing, we'd be better off." Listen, those thoughts will do nothing to defend your marriage. Those are the words of the accuser. His strategy is to divide and conquer. What you have to do is, the Bible says, we cast down every thought and every imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So we cast down blame, we cast down derision, we cast down resentment from our mind, and we just trust the situation to God, however it is at that time. See, God is the Redeemer. You know what that means? That means He's the one who works all things together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. All the sins, all the mistakes, all the misfortunes, all the tragedies, He will redeem them if we will but refuse to turn on our spouse, but instead turn to God in prayer together. Amen? I tell you, there's a spiritual buildup in this place today. The Lord showed me a picture. He said, "Mark, I'm drawing back my bow. And the string is tight and ready, and I've got an arrow, and these words are on the tip of it, and I'm going to allow it to sink deep into the heart of marriages and release something." And these words nourish, cleanse, fortify, and defend. The Holy Spirit wants to plunge those things into the heart of our marriage. He wants to become our Cupid, who restores the love and the devotion that God wants us to have. And I just feel led, Jamie, if you'll come to the piano, I really feel led by the Holy Spirit today to finish out this series by ministering to couples right here at this altar. I just feel the Lord speaking to me that He has something He wants to give you in the form of an impartation, just a touch from the Holy Spirit. I mean, can I give you an impartation for your marriage? Will you let me bless your union in this final hour of our month-long series on making marriages blessed? I believe God has just a bow He wants to put on the package, and man, it's going to change something in your married life. It's going to take the words and it's going to turn them into reality and revelation in your lives. Will you bring your marriage to Jesus today in a renewed dedication to Him and to one another? I'm just going to ask married couples to come and stand across this room. And if you're preparing to get married, if you're a couple that's in preparation for marriage, I want you to come forward. I just believe God has drawn back His bow, and He's going to let something fire that is going to just plant something deep into the heart of your marriage today by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, release that arrow. Lord Jesus, let that nourishing, let that cleansing, let that defending, let that fortification be planted in marriages. Today, I want you to take hands with your spouse, if possible. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus. I want everybody agreeing right now as each couple is praying for. Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I speak blessings over these marriages. Let every word that you have spoken this month, Father, let it be just planted in these hearts by the Holy Spirit. Lord, Father, you have drawn back your bow and you are releasing that arrow into the hearts of every single one of these marriages in the name of Jesus. Father, bless them with peace and love and joy and strength. Father, we rebuke the power of the devil that tries to divide and conquer. We rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Father God, let there be an uncommon unity and devotion in each of these marriages in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. If you guys could just go down right there. In Jesus' name. If you guys would step forward. Father, in Jesus' name, blessings. Let that word, Father, just flow right here. If you guys could go right there. Father, in Jesus' name. Oh, Lord, I thank you, Father God, for strong marriages. I thank you, Father, for exemplary couples. Thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Father, I bless this couple. Lord, everything that's been spoken, released into their heart and spirit of their marriage in Jesus' name. Father God, everything that's been spoken, released into the heart and spirit of this marriage by your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father God, for the work that you're doing. Thank you, Lord, for the release of an anointing upon the marriage covenant. Hallelujah. Thank you for the difference that the anointing makes in everything that it touches in marriages. Hallelujah. In families. Father, in Jesus' name. Father, let that arrow find its place deep in the hearts of every relationship. In Jesus' name. Blessings to this union in Jesus' name. Blessings of longevity and life and peace and joy in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. Blessings, Lord. The blessing of marriage in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father God, I thank you for what is to come. I thank you for great days together. I thank you for long life together. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, blessings in Jesus' name. Let everything that has been spoken, Father God, be planted deep in the heart of this relationship. Father, everything that has been spoken in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let me go right back here. Father God, we give you thanks and praise. Lord, I just thank you, Father, for just release that impartation into every relationship. Lord God, that the oil of the anointing is being smeared by the Holy Spirit on everyone being touched. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the impartation of the Holy Spirit. Thank you.